Blog Talk Radio. Another edition of the Nick and Rude Show. I am your host, my main man, my buddy. Oh, I'm showing our age. What's going on, man?
Excellent show of the Nick and Rude Show. Now, just excited to be able to let you know I'm around the league on the FC South. Let you know what the teams did last year and, you know, kind of what they did in this offseason to address their concerns going into the 2019 campaign.
Well, we know what they did last season. I'm going to talk about what went right and what went wrong for all these teams in this NFC South division. But first of all, I just want to send my condolences to the Lorenzen family, Jerry Lorenzen, former New York Giants and University of Kentucky Wildcat quarterback. They used to call him the Big Hefty. It was Big Lefty, Hefty, or whatever, something like that. But yeah, he passed away at the age of 38, young age of 38, man, which is crazy. So I just want to say, you got to take care of your health, because when you get to your mid-30s, end of 30s, it is so hard to get that weight off. Start eating healthy.
Lorenzen really, you know, what? 500 pounds at some point, you know. Yes, Norton, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, Nick, but the Dolphins defensive tackle, he was in a one-car crash, I do believe, led to, unfortunately, his left arm being amputated in the crash as well.
Yeah, and the NFL, the good thing is that the NFL will pay his medical bill. And I'm going to say this, man, life's not over. Keep your head up. Yes, your NFL career is over, but life still goes on. Yeah. Also, other news we got going on came out today. I can't believe it. What we talk about the news within the NFL. What a former Ray linebacker. And I'm going to the public. He's better known as Rolando McClain. But on this day, and moving forward, if I ever talk about his ass, I will not call this man by his first name. His name is Slolando. Slolando McClain.
I just call him Bus.
Well, yeah, you call him Bus, I call him Slolando, because I'm telling you right now, he's slow as hell. Totally slow. And this is a passing league, and you're coming back at the wrong time, man. Hopefully, you've got with you a speed coach, because I am a speed coach here in Ohio. You could have came up here, I would have trained you, but after that first session, I would have been real with your ass. I would have told you, Slolando, it's not going to happen.
Now, Nick, you know we can't spend that much time talking about Rolando McClain. You know, in some other NFL news, you know, one thing that's gaining some traction, I heard that, you know, is being discussed by the league. They're kind of pushing for it. Something I've been wanting a long time is obviously now we have 4 preseason games, 16 regular season games. League trying to push for 18 games. I think it wouldn't take effect until they have to renegotiate the collective bargaining agreement, but it would propose that you have likely 2 preseason games, 18 regular season games, but players can only play in 16 games. Nick, what do you think about a proposed change like that, especially the only being eligible for 16 game part?
I'm all for it, man. I actually like it. I mean, they need to cut down this damn preseason. I mean, 4 preseason games, what are you doing to us fans? It's a tease. I mean, you know, after 1 or 2 preseason games, that's enough. You know, first preseason game, we're like, yes, football's back. Second preseason game, you know, the team start game playing a little bit.
Week 1.
Yeah. Team start game playing a little bit. And then after that, when you
3 and 4 is basically just seeing who might make the last on the 53.
Well, no, the third game was when the starters play the whole first half. But the 4th preseason game, that's for them guys who ain't going to make the team. That's just being real. So, 18-game season, I'm cool with that. Shorten the preseason games by 2 games, that's fine with me.
Got to shorten the preseason, definitely.
All right, the other news we have is Melvin Gordon holding out. And
I know Melvin Gordon is in the last year of his deal. He has produced for this Chargers organization. He is a big piece, big component of this Chargers offense. Go ahead and pay this man. The general manager and the agent, I'm sure they can work up something, especially the general manager for the Chargers. I understand they're kind of worried about his health. I mean, he hasn't played a full 16-game season only once, so I get that. But at least just extend him, give him some bonus money or something, because he has produced for you guys. And without him, I mean, come on, man. That running game isn't going to be what it is.
Interesting thing about Melvin Gordon, he's still on his rookie contract, you know, with the short, you know, shelf life or, you know, expected longevity of career or the lack thereof when it comes to longevity for running backs. You know, I think it's fair that he gets extended. I think Melvin Gordon's due to make about $5 million this year. You know, definitely in line to probably get a contract similar to what a Gurley's getting. You know, and obviously you've seen that kind of hasn't worked out for the Rams. So maybe a little less years, maybe a couple years added on at, you know, $12 million plus per, something like that. That seems like that would be reasonable. One last thing I want to mention about another running back, Browns running back, Duke Johnson, went ahead and fired his representation, which was Two Live Crews, Luke's wife. But he did hire Drew Rosenhaus as his agent now. So maybe, you know, Duke will come in, be a little bit more happy.
Hey, boy, I miss that old Two Live Crew, especially that old Luke music, man. Just get you hyped sometimes, man. When I go to the gym, I just got to pop it in. Doo-doo, bam! Doo-doo, bam!
No.
Pop that!
No.
Don't stop. Get it. Pop, 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 pop.
I was playing. All right, let me stop, man. We're going to play some 95 South, too.
Tootsie Roll, hey. Tootsie Roll. No, I was playing. All right, let's stop. Anyway, all right, NFC South. So what I'm going to do is just talk about each team in this division, just run through some stats, what went right for this team, what went wrong, and Rudy's going to talk about the pieces these teams in this division added through the draft and through free agency that can hopefully get them to right the ship heading into the 2019 NFL season. All right, let's talk about the Falcons. A lot of promise and a lot of high hopes was for this team last season, the 2018 Falcon season. And we're talking about on paper, you got one of the best quarterbacks, one of the best receiving corps in the game. We already know this question's always been on the offensive line, defense side of the ball. We got some young studs over there with Keanu Neal. And then you have Deion Jones. I mean, this team has a lot of pieces, but this team went 7-9. I mean, they were very disappointing. I don't understand how it went wrong. But I'm going to tell you how it went wrong. It was basically with the offensive line. We already know Matt Ryan. Every season he's a beast. Threw for almost 5,000 passing yards, 35 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. You look at the running back situation. Devontae Freeman only played in 2 games. Tevin Coleman ran for 800 yards, had 4 touchdowns. The receiving corps, I mean, there's just – I mean, studs everywhere. Muhammad Sanu, 66 catches. Julio Jones, over 113 catches. And then a youngster, Calvin Ridley, came out of nowhere with 10 touchdowns on the season to contribute to this already high-octane explosive offense. We already know about the tight end position. Hooper with 71 catches on the season. Like I said, the offensive line had Matthew Schweitzer, Mack and Schrader last year. Defensive side of the ball, Vic Beasley. Very disappointing. Only had 5 sacks. The young man McKinley came off, had a nice solid rookie season with 7 sacks. Jack Crawford contributed with 6 sacks. Grady Jarrett was a beast at that nose tackle position, had 6 sacks as well. Linebacker position, Vondre Campbell contributed with 94 tackles. Duke Riley chipped in with 60. But like I said, Deion Jones is the MVP of this defense. Only played in 6 games due to injury. Secondary banged up as usual. Well, I'm not going to say usual, but the safety position, one of the big pieces that only played in 3 games was Ricardo Allen. I was about to get to Neal, but Ricardo Allen and Neal. Ricardo Allen only played in 3 games. Neal pretty much 2018 season was a wash. But there were some players that did contribute. Pooh had 74 tackles on the season, a cornerback, 3 sacks, 3 interceptions. Trufant, yeah, he's getting paid that big money, but only 0, no picks at all. Come on, man. And my boy Alford only had 0. So Alford and Trufant, come on, man. You guys got to step it up. But my boy Kazi at the safety position, 7 interceptions, 82 tackles. And it was a very disappointing season for the Atlanta Falcons. Well, when you talk about that disappointment, me and you both know, I don't know to what extent you touched on it, but this team needed to do a better job of keeping Matt Ryan upright. You know, that was really big for this franchise last year. Going 7-9 was kind of a disappointment, you know, when basically a couple years ago you were in the Super Bowl with a, you know what, a 28-7-14 or so lead against the Patriots. But, you know, 7-9, it's not bad. You know, there's definitely a lot of hope for this team going into next year with the their first-round draft pick, one of them at least. Both of them were offensive linemen. They got offensive guard Chris Lindstrom out of BC, 14th overall. They also got Caleb McGarry, who a lot of people thought, you know, possibly was the best offensive lineman in the draft as well. They got him 31st overall from Washington. So when you talk about addressing the need and, you know, getting some more protection for Matt Ryan, who's your franchise QB, you know, they definitely did that. Another couple moves in free agency, like Jamon Brown could definitely sign up, you know, pay off for the Falcons and keeping Ryan clean this year. Luke Stocker, tight end. Kenyon Barner at running back. And then also probably their biggest signing, Adrian Claiborne. And also Justin Hardy. A couple other players, you know, signed by the Falcons in free agency. So, you know, again, boosting the offensive line, I think, is going to be the big thing that helps the Falcons turn that page. Obviously, you know, the skill pieces that they have at the receivers, like you mentioned, Freeman, Jones, you know, Sanu, Ridley. But, you know, got to give Ryan time to make things happen, especially in that run game and in the pass game, getting into those receivers.
Yeah, heading into this upcoming season, I'm expecting a lot of big things out this Falcons, man. I'm telling you, this team, I understand, they're probably looking back, it was like this was probably one of the most biggest disappointing seasons they ever occurred. I mean, I know Matt Ryan.
Returning Neal is going to really help that defense.
Yeah. Neal's a beast, man. Neal's going to do just fine. I'm not worried about that. But I'm telling you right now, NFL fans of other teams better be wary of this Falcons team. They are explosive. Rudy just went through all the went through the upgrades. That offensive line is finally legit now. No excuses for Ryan. Ryan's getting up there in age. He should have a hell of a season, maybe career season coming up. All right, let's move on to these Carolina Panthers. Oh, Cam. Panthers, man. It was crazy because this is one of the – well, I'm not going to say surprise team. This is one of the teams I thought were actually going to battle with the Saints for the division crown ahead in the last season. But very disappointing season. A lot had to do with Cam Newton. Cam's shoulder wasn't right last year. We get that. Only played in 14 games. Barely threw for 3,400 yards, 24 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. But the MVP of this offense was McCaffrey. I mean, ran for over 1,000 yards. Did you know McCaffrey had 107 receptions, Root?
Damn.
Yeah, 107 receptions.
Damn.
Yeah, 107 receptions, 867 yards, and 6 TDs. Newton ran for 488 yards. But I think heading forward now with Newton's career and his injury bug, I think Cam's going to try to slow it down. I actually think he is. I think he's going to try to stay in that pocket as long as he can, go through his progressions. And if it's not there, he feels the heat, then he probably maybe take off and run. The receiver position, DJ Moore, the youngster, led this team in receptions and yards, receiving yards, 55 catches, 788 yards. Greg Olsen, we already know, Cam's best friend at the tight end position, only played 9 games, had that foot injury. Funches, 44 catches. He left in free agency. Curtis Samuel, the young guy at Ohio State, had 39 catches, 494 yards, 5 touchdowns. Jarius Wright, 43 catches, 447 yards. Offensive line, man, that Khalil, one of the most overpaid centers in the game, definitely a weak link, struggled all year. Trey Turner struggled. I mean, this offensive line was, it was a struggle all season long. A defensive line, Mario Addison, solid 9 sacks. Julius Peppers, 5 sacks. Quan Short, we know he's a beast against the run, had contributed with 3 sacks. This is where the strength of this team is the linebacker position. You got them pretty much the best. You can debate it whoever you want to between Kukli and Bobby Wagner. Pretty much 1A, 1B as far as the Mike linebackers in the NFL. Kukli, another fabulous season, 130 tackles, 2 sacks. Shaq Thompson, contributed with 79 tackles, 3.5 sacks. Your boy Thomas Davis, 79 tackles as well. Secondary youngster Dante Jackson, he held it down, man. He did his thing. I got to give him a lot of props, man. This kid stepped up, played every week, elevated his game against some of the best wide receivers and got a lot of respect for his play on the field. He had 4 interceptions. Bradbury had a pick. And then the safety position, Michael Adams, the old man, still getting it done, almost 40 years old, 3 interceptions. And Eric Reed, man, Eric Reed had a solid season as well.
Damn, bro. Michael Adams? Wow. Wow, he played for the Browns back in about 2005. That's how long he's been playing in the league. He's getting that money. Big up Michael Adams. And what'd you say about my son being overrated at tackle? Son's name's Khalil. You get it now? Okay. Yeah, Ryan. I get it. Okay. So the Panthers, like Nick said, they went 7-9. The first round draft pick for the Panthers that they hope can really pan out for them defensively and bolster that defense. Like you said, being a guy that can help Kuechly out, you know, in that front seven. Also, kind of getting them ahead of myself, but also McCoy. We'll touch on that again in a second. The 16th overall pick was Brian Burns out of Florida State. Now, Neek, you know my experience with Florida State pass rushers. You know, guys like Cameron Wibley coming to mind. But Florida State's definitely put out some great defenders through the years, especially as pass rushers, those hybrid pass rushers. So, you know, we'll see how he pans out in the league.
Yeah, we'll see. Like you said, man, Florida State, Cameron Wibley, and also Jamal Reynolds.
Quite a few of them. There's more than that. They got a long list of guys that are a little too busty. But, you know, the Seminoles definitely put out some players in the years as well. So, offensive tackle Greg Little, he was drafted in the second round out of Ole Miss. Go ahead and try to help that Panthers offensive line and basically keep Cam clean. You remember, Nick, last season, a lot of people said Cam was going to shut it down this year because of his shoulder, you know, basically shoulder cleaning surgeries and everything like that. So he probably wouldn't be right. But it looks like he's probably going to want to probably start game one. And one of the reasons why, the Panthers did draft Will Grier in the third round. Who I actually like Will Grier as one of the top 3 quarterbacks in this year's draft. I think he can really sling it. So, I mean, I just think that if nothing else, I mean, I think they still have Tyler Heinicke as well as a backup for the Panthers. But I think Grier would be, pretty much an above average number 2, especially if he gets to maybe sit for, 8 games and watch at first. Big signings for the Panthers. I guess we have to start off with Chris Hogan. Because, you know, he is a Super Bowl champion coming from the Patriots. So he said he likes the environment, the receiver Chris Hogan, coming over from New England. And he, said he's got full confidence in Cam. What else would you expect him to say, though, really? But defensive end, Bruce Irvin, also outside linebacker, kind of a hybrid as well. Another signing by the Panthers. Look for him to maybe, split a little time with Brian Burns at first or teach him the ropes a little bit, if he can if he can stick around through the 53, that's kind of what I was implying. But we know he's had some off-field concerns in the past. But hopefully he's on a straight and narrow. Defensive end, Brian Cox, Jr. I thought that was an interesting signing for the Panthers, obviously. Me and you remember the days of watching the Brian Cox, Sr., great linebacker for teams like Patriots and Jets. Center Matt Paradis. It was a good signing, also tied into Merrick Hemingway. Last, the Panthers did have a couple of departures that will make their impact known, specifically Thomas Davis. Was a great linebacker for the squad. And Julius Peppers, man, what can we say about Julius Peppers, the great career he had? He did retire, and then the team also parted ways with Captain Munderlin, their cornerback.
All right, good job breaking down them Panthers. Panthers, they should be all right this year. I mean, it all hinges on Cam Newton's shoulder. That's it. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. And if that defense line can be like the defense line of old, yeah, this team's going to be hell to deal with in this NFC South division. Yeah, they lost Devin Funches. Really wanted to add that in as well. All right, New Orleans Saints, excellent season, 13-3, averaged 31 points a game. They lost in the NFC Conference Championship game. Drew Brees, it's actually kind of shocking, man, because every year – when you look at Drew Brees' stats, it's always 5,344 yards, 5,224 yards, whatever, passing. But, no, Drew Brees actually only threw for 3,992 yards and 32 touchdowns and had 5 interceptions. And, yeah, that was actually surprising to me because when you think of Drew Brees, next year, thinking about 5,000 passing yard season. Running back position, Kamara, a solid season, 883 rushing yards, 14 touchdowns, 81 receptions coming up, catching out that backfield. Receiving position, Michael Thomas, one of the best wide receivers in the game, 125 catches, 1,400 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns. And I'm going to go ahead and say it like this, fans. He is pretty much the best wide receiver to play in the NFL that ever came out of Ohio State.
Oh, yeah. No question. I mean, who's his competition? Maybe like a Terry Glenn, David Boston even. But, you know, he is, I think, in the first 3 years, most receptions ever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, this kid, he keeps his mouth shut. He just goes out there and balls out. And the funny thing is, Rue, when you look at this receiving core, now I'm starting to see why Drew Brees didn't throw for no 5,000 yards, even get close to it. He was 1,000 yards off. Because you had Mike Thomas, Ben Watson, 35 catches, he's about 38 years old. Actually, his age is how do I want to say that? His age is older than what he, how many catches he got. Yeah, whatever. All right. But then the rookie Smith, he contributed 28 catches. And Tay again, who was a late pickup in the season, has 17 catches. Damn. That's pretty bad, yeah. So I'm telling you right now, Rudy's gonna touch on they added some more pieces in the draft this upcoming offseason. Offensive line, one of the best in the league, Armstead, Pete, Unger, Warfold, Ramzik, one of the best offensive line. Defensive line, Jordan, beast as always, 12 sacks. Okafor had contributed 4 sacks. The rookie, Marcus Davenport, had 4.5 sacks. Sheldon Rankins, who I wanted a few years ago for my Giants to take, had 8 sacks as well. Linebacker position, Rudy's best linebacker. He loved one of the greatest Brown linebackers ever play in the Browns uniform, DeMario Davis, 110 tackles, 5 sacks. Actually, was a beast, man. I ain't going to lie, man. Since he left Cleveland, he balled out with the Jets, had a solid season this past season with the Saints. A.J. Klein chipped in with 70 tackles. Secondary, Marcus Lattimore, 2 interceptions. P.J. Williams, 53 tackles. Eli Apple, a couple interceptions. Safety position, Von Bell, Marcus Williams, 2 of the best young safety tandems in the game. But once again, Saints, phenomenal season.
Neek, since you want to do it like that, you know, the Saints, they also extended Craig Robertson, another all-time great Browns linebacker, but that shows how slim the roster has been in the last at least 10 years. We'll be generous and kind. But, you know, in the second round, I'm going to be honest with you, to address it straight to the point, the Saints went 13-3 like you covered, Nick, but didn't do a whole lot via the draft in terms of big shakeups there. Their best draft pick for me was probably their fourth-round pick, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, safety out of Florida. But they also, in the second round, got Eric McCoy, center out of Texas A&M. Same type of concept. You want to keep bolstering that offensive line, keep your, franchise quarterback clean. I would say Drew Brees probably got a couple years left, man, and he already passed it over. I don't know if he was keeping up with the ESPY at all. Passed it over to Zion and the comments that he made about that down there in the dirty in the N.O. But Malcolm Brown was a guy that was signed from the Patriots via free agency to defensive tackle. And then also Latavius Murray was the pickup for the Saints at running back. Don't forget the loss, Mark Ingram. Of course, they do, still have their man Kamara. But, you know, it's good to have that depth at the running back position, you know, so you get him with that two-headed monster.
Yeah, that two-headed monster. And I'm about to touch on this in this division was pretty much had a – very depressing season. They're pretty much the most depressing team in this division. I mean, come on, man. When you look at the 2018 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you got a head coach by the name of Dirk Cutter. He shouldn't even be an NFL head coach, just mainly an offensive coordinator, but he's a head coach. You got a quarterback who kind of looks like a baby Master P, always smiling all the time. And then you have a running back, this barber. He's not a Tiki barber. He's not a Rondé barber. He's a Peyton barber, 871 yards, touch home in a second. And that's about it, man. And then you got Fitzpatrick. I mean, so that's all I'm going to say about the Bucs season. I mean, Winston only played 9 games, had the suspension. You know, when he came back, 19 touchdowns, 14 picks. Ryan Fitzpatrick came in there. He showed out in a couple games, and he went back to being Fitzpatrick, which is throwing them picks, being the bummy wummy as always. Running back position, like I said, Ronald Jones was a disappointment, who they drafted from USC. He didn't do anything for this team. Wide receiver position, this is pretty much the strength for this team right here. You know, Mike Evans, 86 catches, 1,500 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns. Adam Humphries, 76 catches. DeSean Jackson, 41 catches. And then my boy Goodwin, man, you know, chipped in with 59 catches. O.J. Howard, I mean, I'm expecting more from the kid, but hell, you know, we got Baby Massey at the quarterback position, Ryan Fitzpatrick. You're going to have struggles like that. You know, 34 catches on the season and 5 touchdowns. Cameron Brake was solid as well. Offensive line, solid. You know, Dotson, Marpet, Jensen, Donovan Smith. I mean, that's a nice group. Defensive line, JPP, 12.5 sacks. Carl Nassib, former Browns, 6.5 sacks. We'll always talk about the Browns because Rudy's a diehard Brown, so I like to throw them old Brownies in there. Gerald McCoy, 6 sacks as well. First round pick, the nose tackle, Villa. He contributed with 3 sacks. He was serious magician, serious ghost. I mean, you couldn't find this dude on the field. You just look and see this big ass, big old monster in the middle. He ain't do nothing the beginning part of the season. But yeah, he actually stepped up towards the end of the season. Linebacker position, Levante David. Beast is always one of the best linebackers in the game. 120 tackles. Darius Taylor, 60 tackles. Quarterback position, Brent Grimes, Carlton Davis. I mean, come on, man. Brent Grimes was decent. Safety position, Justin Evans.
I mean,
he's a hazard.
A little long in the proverbial tooth.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. Need that speed at the corner position. He no longer possesses it.
Yeah, you'll talk about that right now. And then Justin Evans, Isaiah Johnson, they chipped in at the safety position. That's it, man. Very depressing. I'm glad I'm done. Yo, Tyrue.
Actually, Neek, Tampa Bay is a team that I really like. I always liked them for my days in Tampa, but, I mean, you're right. Right now, the cover's a little bare. I'll tell you what the biggest thing that Tampa Bay did this offseason was, you know, they got rid of your boy Dirk Cutter after going 5-11, brought in Bruce Arians, who's a, you know, proven winner from his times in Arizona, and also, you know, in being a former offensive coordinator for the Steelers, pretty much all over the league. But fifth overall in the draft, Devin White was the linebacker at LSU. That was drafted by the Bucks to stay down south and wreak havoc as a linebacker in the league and kind of bolster their defense and beat Jameis Winston on their defense. Speaking of Jameis, I just got to interrupt myself real quick. It's a big make or break year for him. New coach, you know, he's got to produce basically to keep his job. Fitzpatrick showed a lot of magic last year. That's why they call him Fitz Magic. But, you know, this is Jameis's team now. And, again, it'll be interesting to see if he can really take the bull by the horns and secure his job there. The third-round draft pick by the Bucks was safety Mike Edwards out of Kentucky. You talk about some of the signings that Tampa Bay did in free agency. Wasn't a whole lot of movement, but they did sign Ndamukong Suh. That was late in free agency after letting Gerald McCoy go away, signing to about the same money on a one-year deal, Suh. So they hope that he can replace and bring that interior leadership and, you know, pressure, just pure pro there at defensive tackle position. Blaine Gabbert was a quarterback they signed as a backup to back up. You know, Jameis Winston, and the reason why he'll be able to kind of help him a lot is because he himself is a former guy that's a little too bust. But Gabbert's actually, as he's been a backup, he's actually played some solid ball. And then Breshad Perriman was a wide receiver that played for the Browns last year, and he was actually as well. He was a little too overrated going into the draft, and he was a first round draft pick. But he had some decent production for the Browns in limited time last year, and caught a lot of deep balls. Earl Watford was another signing by the Bucks. Also parted ways with McCoy, like I had just mentioned. Neek touched on Adam Humphries going, you know, via free agency. Also DeSean Jackson, you know, parted ways with the team and went back home.
Yeah, and I'm gonna just say this, man. We're about to end the show, but Bruce Arians is the perfect coach for this team, and I wish they were on Hard Knocks, because when Bruce looks into that huddle, see Jameis Winston smiling. Jameis, what the fuck you smiling about? Ain't nothing to smile about. Wipe that smile off your damn face. He gonna be getting
like,
on Jameis.
I like Bruce Arians because he looks like, you know, he'd be wearing the Kangos. He looks like he's going to like a middle school dance as the chaperone or something, like the principal. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, but what I'm saying is playtime is over. No more Mr. Nice Guy in Tampa Bay. Bruce Arians is what this team needs as a head coach to lead this team. And like I said, he's the perfect one to fix Jameis Winston. If he can't do it, Jameis Winston, your career is done in the NFL. And Ty Bowles, perfect fixture on the defense side.
One more thing before we get out of here. Go Browns.
Whatever, man. Them Brown rejects, man. At least they looking good in at winning clubs. All right, yeah. Neek Root, see you guys next week.
Big shout out to